Multi-State Essay Questions and Answers, February 2008, Separac Bar Review, Question 1. 6 years ago, Testator retired from his work as a business executive. Testator continued to serve as a trustee of several non-profit organizations, and manage all of his own financial affairs. He maintained these activities until his death. 5 years ago, Testator hired a housekeeper, Harriet. 4 years ago, Harriet began to ask Testator to provide for her in his will. She also began to interfere with Testator's relationship with his daughter, Doris. When Doris called, Harriet sometimes falsely told her that Testator was sleeping and could not talk on the phone. When Doris came to visit Testator, Harriet often stayed in the room to overhear their conversations. Harriet also made critical remarks about Doris to Testator, and told him that Doris should visit him more regularly. On a number of occasions, Harriet threatened to quit if Testator did not provide for her in his will. These threats made Testator fearful, particularly during the last year of his life, when his declining health made him increasingly dependent on Harriet. 6 months ago, Harriet again threatened to quit if Testator did not provide for her in his will, and told Testator that he should see her attorney. Testator told Harriet, "Stop bothering me. I'll see my own attorney." 3 months ago, Testator executed a will, in accordance with the applicable statute of wills. The will was drafted by Testator's attorney, pursuant to Testator's handwritten instructions. The will specified as follows: "I leave my estate in equal shares to my housekeeper, Harriet, and my daughter, Doris." This is the only will Testator ever executed. Testator recently died at age 78. Testator left a substantial estate. Both Harriet and Doris survived Testator. Testator was also survived by a son, Sam, a grandchild, Ella, who was the child of Doris, and a grandchild, Fred, who was the child of Testator's son, Bob. Both Testator's spouse and Bob predeceased Testator. Testator and Sam had been estranged for several years prior to the time of Testator's death. 1. Is the will invalid in whole, or in part? Explain. 2. Assuming the will is invalid in whole, to whom, and in what shares, should Testator's estate be distributed? Explain. 3. Assuming the will is invalid in part, to whom, and in what shares, should Testator's estate be distributed? Explain. Multi-State Essay Questions and Answers, February 2008, Separac Bar Review, Answer Analysis of Question 1, Wills and Estates. Issue 1. Did a housekeeper unduly influence a testator to make her a beneficiary under his will? Issue 2. If a person unduly influenced the testator, is his will partially or entirely invalid? Issue 3a. To whom should testator's estate be distributed if the will is entirely invalid? Issue 3b. To whom should testator's estate be distributed if the will is partially invalid? Answer discussion. Testator's will is invalid, in whole, or in part, if it was the product of undue influence. Here, the facts are not conclusive, but may support an undue influence finding. If the will is valid, the estate will pass in equal shares to Harriet and Doris. If the bequest to Harriet was the product of undue influence, the court may invalidate the entire will, or only Harriet's bequest. If the entire will is invalidated, the estate would pass under the laws of intestate succession. Doris, Sam, and Fred, who would take as the representative of his deceased parent Bob, would take equal one-third shares. If only the bequest to Harriet is invalidated, one half of the estate would pass to Doris under the will, and the remaining half would pass either to Doris, as the remaining res jure legatee, or if the common law, no residue of a residue rule is applied to Doris, Sam and Fred under the laws of intestate succession. In that case, Doris would take two-thirds of the estate, and Sam and Fred would each take one-sixth. Explanation to point 1, 35-45% of your score. The court may find that testator's will, in whole, or in part, was the product of Harriet's undue influence. If a will, or portion of a will is the product of undue influence, it may be set aside. Undue influence occurs when the wrongdoer exerted such influence over the testator that it overcame the testator's free will, and caused the testator to make a donative transfer that the testator would not otherwise have made. The burden of establishing undue influence is on the will contestant, who must show that, 1, the testator was susceptible to undue influence, 2, the alleged wrongdoer had the opportunity to exert undue influence upon the testator, 3, the alleged wrongdoer had a disposition to exert undue influence, and, 4, the will appears to be the product of undue influence. Undue influence may be established by circumstantial evidence. The facts of this case, if proven at trial, would certainly establish that Harriet had opportunity and a disposition to influence testator. Harriet lived in testator's home, criticized and limited his contacts with Doris, a natural object of testator's bounty, and urged him repeatedly to make a will in her favor. The will contestant should also be able to show that the bequest to Harriet was linked to her attempts to influence the will, as testator executed the will only after Harriet threatened to quit, and at a time when he had become increasingly dependent upon her. Testator also bequeathed to Harriet, an employee who was not the natural object of his bounty, one half of his probate estate. The facts do not so clearly establish testator's susceptibility to undue influence. On the one hand, testator was increasingly ill, and dependent on Harriet. He also agreed to see an attorney after Harriet threatened him. On the other hand, testator maintained control over his financial affairs until his death, continued to play an active role as trustee of various non-profits, refused to see the attorney Harriet suggested, and communicated his dispositional plan to his own attorney through handwritten instructions. Because the evidence is inconclusive, the outcome might depend on who bears the burden of proof. Normally, this rests on the party challenging the will. However, in many jurisdictions, a presumption of undue influence arises when there is a confidential relationship between the testator and the alleged influencer, and suspicious circumstances surround the drafting of the will. Most of the cases involving confidential relationships involve attorneys and close relatives. It is not clear that a confidential relationship between testator and Harriet could be established in this case. But if it were, then the burden of proof on the issue of undue influence would shift to Harriet. Explanation to point 2, 10-20% of your score. If the court finds that the bequest to Harriet was the product of undue influence, it may invalidate the entire will, or only the bequest to Harriet. A finding of undue influence may lead a court to invalidate the entire will, or only a portion of it. Most courts will invalidate only those portions that are infected by undue influence. Clearly, if there was undue influence, it affected the bequest to Harriet, and that bequest should be invalidated. It is less clear whether the entire will was infected by Harriet's undue influence. Given his estrangement from Sam, it is possible that testator would have left his entire estate to Doris, had he not left a one-half share to Harriet. However, it is also possible that testator might have left a share of the estate to his grandchild Fred. The facts do not show that testator was estranged from either Fred, or Fred's deceased parent, Bob. Testator might also have left a share to Sam's child, Ella, or even to Sam himself. Indeed, testator might not have executed a will at all. Given this uncertainty, the court might invalidate the entire will, or only the bequest to Harriet. Explanation to point 3a. 10-20% of your score. If the entire will is invalidated, testator's estate would pass to his heirs, Doris, Sam, and Fred. Assuming that the court invalidates the entire will, as the product of undue influence, testator's estate will be distributed to his heirs. In every jurisdiction, testator's heirs would be his two surviving children, Doris and Sam, and his grandchild, Fred, who takes as the representative of testator's deceased child, Bob. Doris's child, Ella, would not take as an heir, because Doris survived testator, and there is no basis for Ella to represent her mother. Explanation to point 3b. 15-25% of your score. If the bequest to Harriet alone is invalidated, Harriet's one-half share of the estate would either pass to Doris in its entirety, or be distributed equally to Doris, Sam, and Fred, depending on whether the jurisdiction applies the common law, no residue of a residue rule. When a residuary bequest fails, the question arises as to whether the invalidated share passes to the testator's heirs, or to the remaining residuary legatees. Under the common law, no residue of a residue rule, the invalid share passes to the testator's heirs. The theory behind this approach is that, if the invalid share were to pass to the remaining residuary legatee, it would increase her share without an executed bequest, and thus violate the policies that underlie typical statutory execution requirements. Under the common law approach, Doris would take one half of the estate under the will, and the remaining half would be distributed in equal shares to Doris, Sam, and Fred, under the law of intestate succession. Many courts today reject the common law rule, theorizing that the testator's execution of a will evidence is an intention to benefit the legatees named in the will, to the exclusion of heirs, particularly, would-be heirs not mentioned in the will. This residue of a residue approach has been adopted in Uniform Probate Code Section 2604. Under this approach, Harriet's invalid share would go to Doris. The only other residuary legatee. Neither Sam nor Fred would take a share of testator's estate.